Let us pray. Father, Lord God Almighty, we thank Thee for this Lord's Day, that You have gathered us in holy worship before Thee. We ask of Thee, Lord, to humble our hearts before Thy holy word. May Thou give us understanding of Thy truth. May Thy Spirit open our eyes, anoint us, that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy word. So, Lord, sanctify us and give us understanding and help us that we may hear and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In everything, give thanks. Yes, how many of us have offered these two wonderful words as sacrifice of praise? Thank God. Have we done so even this past week? These two words which God is certainly pleased to hear, and it is certainly the will of God that we should say thank God unto God. If you were to do so, then God is well pleased. Fruits of our lips unto the Lord God. Thank God. Two beautiful words that our God longs and wants to hear from us always. Have we been always doing so? Well, they are commonly used by Christians who know that it is a good thing to give thanks always. The writer of Hebrews exhorts us in Hebrews 13:15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So, giving thanks unto the Lord God is to offer the Lord God the fruit of our lips, sacrifice of praise unto God, and we are to do so continually, not just now and then, once in a while, or as and when we like it, but God who expects us to give thanks unto Him continually. And this we all should know as Christians. Do we not hear Christians giving thanks when they hear of something good? Certainly we give thanks, right, when we hear of something good. Or experience something nice. Like being able to, for example, even simple things. Find a parking lot in a busy shopping center. This place is quite congested. I came in just now, I drove right to the end. No lot. And I got to make a three-point turn. And it's so difficult to make a three-point turn here. I drive a van, the church van. And there were cars parking on both sides. So, but thank God that the Lord God helped me to get out of this place. And went outside there, just right at the entrance, somewhere the slope there. And thank God there is a lot there. In fact, there are quite a few lots there. Managed to park it there. I thought I would want to drive in so that it's nearer the worship center. So I did not park there. But no choice, now I've got to park there. But it's better. It's safer, I think. So thank God, right? Do we thank God? When we go to a shopping center and it's not easy to find a place. And in fact, Reverend Toh used to tell us that whenever he goes, he will pray a little prayer, whisper a little prayer. Oh Lord, please give me a parking lot. And true enough, after he says Amen, there's a car coming out of the lot. And then he takes it. And praise the Lord God Almighty. Do we thank God for even simple things like this? But what about something adverse happens to our lives or to our loved ones? Will we still be able to thank God? Will we still be able to give praise to God, even praises of our lips? Yes, for example, can we readily say, thank God for cancer? Yes. When our loved ones is afflicted with cancer, or even we ourselves, are we able to readily say thank God for cancer? I was told that one medical doctor turned pastor who exclaimed these four words whenever he is told that someone has cancer, especially his own siblings. And he would assure and rejoice to the cancer patient or at the cancer patient that because why is it that he can thank God for it, especially if the person is in the Lord. It means that he's going to meet up with the Lord soon. He's going home soon. He's going to glory land soon. Yes, he's going to leave this world of suffering and pain and turmoil and labor and to have his rest very soon. So thank God he's able to be there earlier than me. So praise and thank God for it. What a blessing as he comforts the afflicted. Are we able to thank God for cancer? There's a tract written by some Christian, and yes, it's entitled Thank God for Cancer. And it is as a result of the cancer, the family came to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The whole family is saved through that cancer experience. Truly thank God for cancer. If not for that, then they might not be yet saved. Thank God for cancer, yes. Giving thanks may come by rather easy. If everything seems to be going on smoothly and fine in our lives, but in times of difficulties, in times of afflictions and troubles, turmoil, failures, are we still able to thank God? Will these two words of praise come forth from us so easily? The Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, said, thank God for good health. Thank Him for bad health. Do we do that? Thank God for good health, yes. We all surely do that. But do we thank God for bad health? Yes, we must learn to thank God in everything, whether good or bad. In everything, meaning whether good or bad. In fact, very often it is of great suffering that people have come out with of it, that they can experience some goodness of the Lord God. And then they can have great expressions of praise to God after they have come out, have they gone through it. Like Job, he had gone through it and he says that he shall come forth as gold, and truly praise and thank God for the experience. Thanksgiving offered in times of adversity is in fact is more refreshing than when we give thanks for goodness and blessings we experience in life. Not that the Lord God is not well pleased with our thanksgiving when we thank Him for something good, but it is so refreshing to Him if you are to still give thanks to Him when we experience some afflictions in life. Are we able to still give thanks though things do not seem to work out? Our way seems contrary to us. Are we still able to give thanks to the Lord God Almighty? During a harvest festival in India, an old widow arrived at her church with an extraordinary large offering of rice, far more than the poor woman could be expected to offer, to afford to offer. And the itinerant pastor of the church did not know the widow well, but he did know that she was very poor. And so he asked her if she were making the offering in gratitude for some unusual blessing that she, being a poor widow, should bring so much rice as a sacrifice offering. Yes, she replied, the poor woman, my son was sick, and I promised a large gift to God if he got well. And your son has recovered? Asked the pastor. The widow paused, and she said, no, he died last week. But I know that he is in God's care, for I'm not. And for that, I'm especially grateful unto the Lord. And so she did not be poor. The thanksgiving, she still brought it, the big offering unto the Lord, even as she thought that she would offer to the Lord God and the son would get well. But even though the son has died, still praising God. Are we able to give thanks even in times of adversity? Despite of difficulties, afflictions, misery in life, and when things do not seem to turn out in accordance with our desires or our plans, when you are feeling depressed, downhearted, will we still give thanks? When there is no sign of relief from sickness or trouble, yes, when life is going through intense hardship, will we still thank the Lord? True thankfulness is not when there is plenty, not when we are feeling jolly or having holiday mood with turkey and with feasting, with family union, reunions. But even when we do not have those things, we still can thank God. Yes, count it our blessings and name them one by one, regardless whether we are going through good times or bad times. It is not to complain because you do not have what you do not have. Is there any one of us who does not have a thankful spirit, even being a child of God? Learn a lesson, even from this saying, I cried because I had no shoes, until I saw a man who had no feet. How often we are guilty of this, isn't it so? I heard a young teenage boy who was envious of others wearing specs. You know, teenage boys, they think that putting on specs make them feel more handsome. And so they may try to put on the specs. That's what I did last time when I was a child. See people wearing specs, so I also put on specs. Until now, I have to put on specs. And he has the impression, right, that people put on specs are smart and intelligent. Yeah. You look more Siwen, so put on specs. And so he also wished to put on a pair of specs. Well, maybe this boy may be thankful for his good eyesight. Realize that there are those who wear specs with so high degrees, and when they take out their specs, they are almost blind. Yeah, I had a classmate who put on specs, and his specs were so thick, then when he removed it, he almost could not see anything. So thank God for what that we have. When we don't have to wear specs, thank God. And even when we have to wear specs, we also thank God. Thank God for good and bad things. Do not fret over the discomfort and go into depression because of a slight discomfort in your life, even maybe just a common flu or some running nose until you... Well, if you were to fret over these things, right, just a little discomfort or pain, wait until when we get to the hospital and see those who are really sick and have to be hospitalized. Wait until when we go to the cancer ward and see the pain that these patients are suffering from. And the many people who are dying from dreadful disease. True thanksgiving is to give thanks even when adversity and difficulties abound. Occurs even under circumstances so gloomy that one wonders why people give thanks. True thankfulness is expressed even when it would seem the more reasonable response is to express bitterness and ingratitude. How is it that these people can give thanks and you expect them to be unthankful, right? To be in a complaining spirit. But still they give thanks. If they truly give thanks, then it is a good spirit. Such kind of thankful spirit is well exhibited by none other than the Apostle Paul. In the Word of God, the Lord God has raised a servant of His to be our example, truly. Truly, the Apostle Paul was exemplary. Note that in most of Apostle Paul's epistles, he teaches the spirit of thanksgiving. Remember that many of his epistles were written from prison. He was a prisoner of the Lord, and yet, still, he was able to exhort the people to give thanks and praise. As an application, even for us when we are bedridden, are we able to give thanks to the Lord? We may not be in prison, but we may be bedridden. Are we still able to tell our loved ones to give thanks and praise? Tell them to praise God for us, that at least He's still sustaining us, our health and our faith in the Lord, that we have not denied the Lord. Not like Job's wife telling him to curse God and die. But we thank God that we are still believing, though we may be very sick. Yes, the Apostle Paul usually begins his epistles with words of thanksgiving and praise to God. This is Paul's obedience to the many commands in Holy Scriptures to give thanks unto the Lord. In fact, in the New Testament, the word thanksgiving occurs mostly in the epistles of Paul. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 here, the great apostle exhorts us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, and this is the will of God. Now the phrase give thanks is even in the imperative. That means it is a command. So it is not a choice whether we should give thanks or not. God's command is for us to give thanks. It is for us to be obeyed We are to give thanks. You ought to give thanks. You should give thanks. You must give thanks. That's what Paul is saying. And then also it is in a present tense. Give thanks. Giving thanks. Always. Not just only once in a while, occasionally, but always. Having the spirit of giving thanks. Continually. So the exhortation is to give thanks, to give, to keep on giving thanks, and in everything. And everything means everything, not just certain things, things that you like to give thanks for, you give thanks. Things you don't like to give thanks for, then you don't give thanks. No, but in everything. The verse tells us that giving thanks always in everything because it is God's will for us. If we know what God's will is for us, if we want to know what God's will is for us, it is to give thanks in everything. Always. So, dear brethren, are we obeying this commandment of the Lord God Almighty? Are we obeying God's will here? To give thanks in everything and to give thanks always? If we have been talking about wanting to do God's will, this is it. To give thanks always and to give thanks for everything. Everything means all that happens in your life, whether in times of joy or whether in times of difficulty, in times when you have to struggle, in times of afflictions, in times of adversity in life. Everything. If you find this is a hard saying, then learn from the Apostle Paul and realize that this is a command from God. The Apostle Paul, he is exemplary in his obedience to God's will to give thanks in all things. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. And not only just here, but many other places, right? He has always been saying, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul is surely a good model of a thankful attitude. His thanksgiving is not dependent on his circumstances in life. We know that he did not have an easy life. The Lord God, when the Lord God called him on his way to Damascus and already said that he's going to have a difficult life, preaching the gospel, facing kings and Gentiles, and he was to expect afflictions in life. It's not going to be an easy pathway for him. And he was prepared for that, and yes, his life of giving thanks was not dependent on the circumstances in his life. Despite many hardships in his life and in his ministries, he could still continue to give thanks unto the Lord God Almighty. How many of us can be like him, like the Apostle Paul, still giving thanks for all things when we encounter difficult situations in our lives? Can we do it like the Apostle Paul? In Acts chapter 27, we read of Paul when he was on his journey to Rome and he encountered a storm in the Mediterranean Sea and later on a shipwreck. And the people on board were extremely discouraged. Right? Because in such a situation and therefore they refused to eat. But the Apostle Paul, what did he do? He encouraged them to press on and not to give up. Even though he was in the same boat as them. You could also be like them, but no. We read that he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Yes. To keep himself alive, because he had a mission to do for the Lord God. And he trusted in the Lord God that the Lord God will see him through, even to bring him to Rome. God has his purpose. So he would press on and he would still eat. Many times we cannot eat. When we are sick, when we are unwell, we just feel so discouraged and we want to give up. And especially those with terminal illness, they just want to give up already. But we thank God that, well, here the Apostle Paul gives us the example that we should press on. And he showed it to them. Yes, we do face many battles in life. And not all battles in our life are won. Many times we do fail them. But lost battles do not mean defeat. They still call for thanksgiving, for deliverance. Deliverance may not be for this temporal life, but for eternity. For example, in a battle against sickness, we may lose the battle to the sickness. Our cancer-stricken loved ones may be taken away. But the Lord's deliverance is far better. The Lord's deliverance is far better, even as the Lord takes home our loved ones who is suffering. And surely it calls for thanksgiving unto the Lord God Almighty after he has delivered. Just last year, my aunt, she was taken home. But before that, she was in and out of hospital so many times. And truly, because she's saved, and then we had the confidence that if the Lord were to take her home, she'll be in a far more better place. So rather than to go in and out of hospital and even going home, she'll be in pain still, having to be bedridden. But of course, this kind of thing we have to be careful too, right? We do not go to the person and tell them straight away that it's rather that they go home. Right? We pray still for deliverance. But if in the Lord's will, the Lord God wants to take her home earlier, then we praise God. And we thank God, really, that the Lord God took her home. She did not have to suffer that much. It's only just for a few months that she was in and out of hospital. So we give praise and thanks to the Lord God, even in such things. Now note that the word for thanksgiving in the word is the word Eucharistia. Okay, and it comes from two words, goodness and grace. So the thanksgiving, it comes from the original Greek word, from two words, goodness and grace. Indeed, when we consider God's goodness and grace, how he does not reward us according to our iniquities, because of his grace, we should be compelled to offer to give thanks unto the Lord God for sparing us, delivering us, and blessing us. God is so gracious and he's so good. He spares us even from eternal damnation and to save us unto his marvelous kingdom. Should we not give thanks to him? When we read about the life of many hymn writers, we will discover that many of them, their lives were not easy. So we have very comforting hymns, but they are not written by people who had an easy life. They had many troubles in life, and some were sickly themselves, and some had traumatic experience in losing the loved ones. For example, the hymn that we have just read, that we have just sung, What a Friend We Had in Jesus. It's one example. Yet they pressed on, yes, using the time of sickness or difficulties to write such beautiful poems that have been turned into Christian hymns. And so these hymns are used of the Lord God to bless us, to comfort us, and to help us also to give thanks in times of difficulty, afflictions, and challenges in life. One example is that of Martin Rinkert. He was a minister in a little town of Illingbad in Germany some 350 years ago. And he was the son of a poor coppersmith, but somehow he managed to work his way through an education, and finally, in the year 1617, he was offered the post of archdeacon in his hometown. A year later, what has come to be known as the 30 Years' War broke out. His town was caught right in the middle, and in 1637, the massive plague that swept across the continent hit Illingbad. And people died at the rate of 50 a day. And the man called upon to bury most of them was none other than this man, Martin Rinkert. And in all, over 8,000 people died, including Martin's own wife. His labors finally came to an end about 11 years later, just 1 year after the conclusion of the war. And his ministry spent 32 years, all but the first and the last, overwhelmed by the great conflict that engulfed the town. So tough circumstances he was in, but still thankful, right? He managed to read all. He wrote those words in a hymn. Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things had done, in whom his world rejoices. Such a person who had gone through so many difficulties in life and even losing his wife in such a difficult situation, and yet can still have the spirit of giving thanks to God. It takes a magnificent spirit to come through such hardship and express gratitude. And here's a great lesson for us to learn. Surrounded by tremendous adversity, thanksgiving will deliver you with hearts and hands and voices. Oftentimes, we may neglect coming to the Lord God in prayer and thanksgiving when life is so much at peace and ease. Yes, we take it for granted. But when we are face to face with adversity in life, do we not rush to the throne of grace and to plead with God for his help and for his mercy? How often do we have members coming to prayer meeting to give thanks to God when there's no trouble in life? Life is smooth going and the children are doing their studies very well, passing exams, getting straight A's. To some, the prayer meeting is just a routine, right? So they just do not take note of it. But to others, prayer meeting is like a spiritual clinic. Right? We really need it and we really need to come to him. And in times of need, we all should be coming to the Lord. But don't be like some who just come because they feel that there's a need, then they come. We ought to be always becoming. Whether it be in good times or bad times, we ought always be coming. Not to neglect prayer meeting during good times and only bad times, then we come and then to seek the Lord God. So only in heart, when you're hard-pressed in life and you're struck with affliction, and when then we quickly and obediently run to the prayer meeting to pray. Generally, Christians do find it hard to go on their knees when life is not so hard. Isn't it so? Does it speak of us? Do we find it so hard to go on our knees to pray? When life is so smooth going, when life seems to be at peace and we do not seek to be with God, even to give him thanks and praise. But we do find it particularly hard to pray when we are in trouble. Yes, when life is in chaos and many who then seek God, you come then to rush to the Lord God Almighty when they face with troubles. Do we find in our case, this is a common spiritual attitude of sinful men. Even unbelievers, you know, they will pray in times of sickness and danger, in financial difficulty or hardship. They will seek the Lord God in prayer. Do they not say, you know, that that this is a Chinese saying that said, "Ping shi bu shao xiang, then ling shi bao fo jiao." Right? That is when life is normal and they forget about the gods, and when life is at risk, then they'll quickly run and beg before the gods. But as believers, although some may really pray only in times of crisis, still for us, we should always be praying and acknowledging that God is able and to give him thanks and come to him always. For he's a living and true God and he will help us always, and he wants us to come to him to give thanks. And so what a friend we have in Jesus is truly a him to help us to pray. And the hymn writer had suffered much, losing his fiancée one after another. Imagine that, about to get married and then the fiancée died one after another. Twice it happened. And so that caused the writer to write the hymn. So let us call upon the Lord God Almighty. Do we call upon the Lord in terms of trouble to pray and to plead and to give thanks to God? Let us not shy away. It is better than never at all to come to the Lord God and to pray and ask the Lord. The psalmist says in 5015, very easy to remember, Psalm 5015, 5015, he says, "Call upon me in a day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So in the day of trouble, call upon the Lord God Almighty. And then He will deliver us, and then we shall glorify Him. God wants us to run to Him when we are in trouble. When in trouble, do not stay away. Come to praise God and to thank God and to worship Him. Because He's waiting to deliver us from trouble. He wants to deliver us. So He wants us to call upon Him in a day of trouble. All the more so when in a day of trouble. Do not stay away, but call upon the Lord God. Praise Him with thanksgiving and then await to see His deliverance. He will deliver you. And then thou shalt glorify me. If we stay away and then it happens that we overcome the problem, then what will we say? We may say that it is by our own effort that we have overcome the trouble. And so we don't give thanks to God, we don't give praise to Him. But God wants us to praise Him. He wants us to glorify His name. And so in times of trouble, let us come to Him, call upon Him, and then He will deliver us. Then we will give praise to God, to encourage others and to point others to God and to, it is God who has helped me out of this trouble. And so God is well pleased. Yes, God wants us to pray to Him and seek Him and to give Him praise always. Giving thanks to God is what He wants us to do. In fact, the heathen, we all do this also. What more? Us Christians. I have a neighbor, she shared with us when she was learning her driving. And she said she prayed to her gods. She would go to the temple and sao xiang, you know, and burn joysticks and asking her gods to help her. And then when she passed, she came to tell us, I passed. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to the temple again to offer joysticks to my gods. Yes, the heathen, they can do this. What about us? Surely our God is not made of stones like us. We don't have an unknown God. We have a living and true God. Our God is greater than all those gods. Our Lord is the Lord of lords. And He deserves far greater praise and honor from His children. Do we give thanks to God always, come to Him, to seek Him for help and then give Him praise and thanks and glorify His name? Remember in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 18, there Jesus gave an account of how the 10 lepers were healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked, were not there 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Was no one found to give praise to God except the Samaritan? 10 of them were healed, but one gave praise to God, thanks to God, came back to thank God. And this was even a Samaritan. What happened to the rest? How often do we sincerely thank the Lord God Almighty? Yes, dear friends, for all that He has done in making things possible for us. So please do not forget or neglect to thank God when He has delivered us from our problems. When we pray and we seek Him for help and He has delivered us, we must give Him thanks again. Remember, Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You should glorify me. So come to the prayer meeting to give thanks to the Lord God. If He has delivered you from some difficult situations, afflictions, come to give praise to God, to thank Him, and to help others to see what God can do, and to receive all the praise and glory unto Himself. Give all glory and honor due unto Him. So, dear friends, how is the spirit of thanksgiving in us as children of God? Let us realize that it is our duty to give thanks. It is a commandment for us to obey, to give thanks. And it is the will of God that Christians ought to be giving thanks always and in everything, in all things, whether it be good or bad. Which means that both times in peace and tranquility and in times of adversity, we still can be giving thanks to God. We are to give thanks through our prayers. Prayer is not just only asking, but prayer is very much giving thanks. Giving thanks to God. We ought to give thanks to God in our prayers. We should not be only just asking and asking. We ought to be giving thanks to God. We must learn to give thanks for everything and for everyone as well. Not just for everything, but also for everyone. Do we give thanks for our loved ones, for our brethren in the church? Give thanks to the Lord God Almighty for them? Yes, let us be giving thanks unto the Lord God Almighty for what He has given to us according to His purpose, according to His will. Do not be envious of others, but rather give thanks to the Lord God for them or other people who are doing better than us, their children. Give thanks to the Lord God for them that they have done well. Do we give thanks to the Lord God Almighty? Pray for them. So may the Lord help us, yes, to be reminded of this, to give thanks unto the Lord God always and in everything, and to remember each and every one to give thanks even for them. For it is the will of God, and it is well-pleasing unto Him. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O Lord God Almighty, we thank Thee for this reminder of us, to us this afternoon, Lord, that it is Thy will that we should be giving thanks in everything. O Lord, help us to obey this commandment of Yours, to learn even from the Apostle Paul, how, O Lord, in life of adversities, and yet he was able to give You thanks always. Lord, forgive us if we have not been having this thankful spirit. Lord, help us that we may always come to Thee, to seek Thee in prayer and to give Thee praise and thanks. Not just always asking, but, O Lord, to give Thee praise and thanks, even in times of trouble, and to see Your deliverance, and then, Lord, to glorify Thy name. So, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.